You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Mona Delfino. As a medical intuitive, vibrational healer, and massage therapist, Mona has been an exceptional body worker for over 20 years. Coming into this field of healing naturally, her passion and abilities as a healer became apparent at a very young age. In addition to her teachings in Reiki, polarity therapy, sound and crystal healing, structure therapy, and many indigenous vibrational medicines, Mona has had the unique experience of studying with her mentor of 12 years, Cherokee medicine woman Karen Land. Karen was known as Double Eagle in the Cherokee tribe. She passed in 2005 with her knowledge still running through Mona. Mona has spent time studying in Hawaii on the Big Island in Hilo, to learn directly from Lomi Lomi masters and Kupuna to bring back the traditional Hawaiian healing that carries the knowledge that all healing comes from love. So let's welcome Mona to the show now. Hi, Mona. How are you?
Hey, Lance. I'm doing absolutely fabulous. Thanks for having me on your show tonight.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Well, did you make it through 2011? What did you think of the way the year went and the way it ended?
You globally or just for me?
Well, you can tell us all your personal details as much as you want.
I don't think that's
okay.
A TMI.
How about globally?
Well, I think that 2011 was an incredible segue into where we are today. Lots of people obviously have been going through a lot of stresses. And I guess, you know, Lance, to kind of share with some of the people that don't know much about me or my work yet, I'll share a little bit about what I do, because this is how I know what I know about a lot of the things going on today. Wow. I work with the public in such a way that is through individual sessions. A lot of it is individual sessions, and I learn about what's happening in the world through the people I work on. And so there will be a series of people that come in with the same kind of thing. And, of course, because I'm an energy runner, but I'm also an energy reader, so I can read everything. There's nothing I really can't read anymore. It's gotten to the point where I can read muscle memory. I can read cellular memory. I go back in and I read the past, I read the present, and I can read their future. I don't always tell them about their future because that's kind of a surprise and that wouldn't be fair. It's more of, you know, what are we doing in the moment and how are we letting go of the past, basically. Yeah. And so a lot of my work is based on retrieving the energy that the people are carrying that become blockages for the future. And so that's how I work on an individual scale, but it's not limited to the physical body, you know, to work just on the physical body, Lance. I can work through Skype, and I work over the phone. I read energy all the time. So this is what I've done for years. I was actually born shaman, and this is how I work. I've known from the beginning that this is my job, and so I love it. What we're coming into now is in the most... probably the reason why a lot of us were born is because of this particular time. And as we know, there are a lot of people that have talked about the 26,000-year cycle that we are completing as we are going through a new polar shift. And all of these changes are rapidly expanding us, and they're expanding what's happening in the world. So a lot of where we stand today comes from the release of old energies, just like people do in their physical body. The Earth is doing the same thing. And so a lot of the people are actually experiencing that, and they're beginning to feel, like my clients have said recently, they feel scattered. They feel like they don't know where their head's at. Some people are slipping into depression and they don't know why. This kind of thing. And yet on the other side of the coin, we've got people that are waking up left and right, recognizing what's happening on a more observation level. They're looking at things differently. Their perceptions are changing. So we have a major, major shift right in front of our eyes. And I would say that 2011, was probably one of the best years for us to be able to understand that. It was the segue into where we are today.
Well, now that we are in today, what are some of the crossroads that you foresee coming in the very near future? And then do you have some kind of vision for the entire year as it unfolds?
I'm going to say this, as you know, the person that I am that reads energy. The most important thing we can do for ourselves is get centered. This is what's encouraging earth changes to develop, is getting centered within ourselves. And I don't mean devastation, I mean earth changes. The things that we have done as a human race over all these years that have kept us submissive, all of these systems now are collapsing and changing. As we individuals become more heart-centered, we are contributing to a new kind of collapse, which is not a negative. This is really important because what I see is a freedom. And there is freedom for the people coming left and right. But the fact is that it's a little scary, you know, because we've been used to having dictation for so many years.
Right, right.
You know, and yeah. So we're at a point now where we're starting to open our eyes and we're seeing new beginnings of changes happening around us. And the mental body that we carry, we have mental body, we have an emotional body, we have obviously a physical body, and then we have a spiritual body. Uh-huh. And these are the things that are actually a oneness. We are a oneness within all of these. And the rest of the world is also learning about how the oneness is occurring through the solar system. And so it's just one big oneness that's coming together. I don't know if people know this, but the Milky Way system is becoming more of a oneness with the Andromeda system. And we're getting closer as the Earth continues to move. We're getting closer to the photon belt. It's what we call the Taurus. That, you know, John J. Harper, my old business partner who died in December of last year, John used to talk about the Taurus all the time and how we're turning ourselves inside out. Uh-huh. And this is exactly what's happening. A year later, he'd be so proud. I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
But, and you knew John.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had some wonderful conversations on the air, and I loved his writing, and I loved him, and he still seems to be around. I still sense him.
Yep. Yeah, there's one song that I always relate to John's and my work, and that song came on the radio today. I haven't heard it in about 2 months.
Oh.
And I heard it today, and I felt his presence on the left side, and I was so grateful, and I knew that he's here with us. So
that's
it's
wonderful.
Exciting, and I feel really, really good with sharing information with you tonight, Lance.
Oh,
and,
good.
Yeah,
good.
Thank you.
Well, now, the sun, you've mentioned the sun, and then Andromeda is supposed to be the male counterpart, and the Milky Way is, of course, the female counterpart. So I'm wondering if there isn't some kind of union going on there at the, you know, at the magnetic level.
Yes.
You know, between the male and the female, and, of course, you know what happens. The young boys and girls.
Oh, tell us. No.
Well, that would take a long time, and I might get thrown off the air.
It's called the birds and the bees. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Maybe there's some kind of cosmic, well, the Big Bang.
The Big Bang.
That's
happening.
Wrong, isn't it?
Yes, it is happening. And if I can jump right in, I'll segue right into it.
All right.
I have a crystal skull. Some of your listeners know that I have a full size rutilated quartz crystal skull.
Wow. Cool.
And I've had her since August. I went down to Southern California and picked her up. She was an absolute gift.
Oh,
she was
gosh.
Given to me from
wow.
the carver from Tucson, Arizona. And the people that got her for me gifted me the skull.
Oh, that's
and
fabulous.
It's fabulous. And so there are, she sits on a on a beautiful like altar in my living room, and that I have kind of set with other crystals around it. And every now and then I go up to her and I go, "Hi, Athena, how are you doing this morning?" And I'll put my left hand, because left is your receiver and right is your giver, so I'll put my left hand on the skull. And I'm telling you, there is something to it, kids. There's something to it. It actually, it emanates energy. And what I get, and the thing about the crystal skull is it's actually, it's shaped like a regular human head. It looks exactly like a human skull. And yet at the same time, it's all crystal. So we're talking about the combination between the core of the earth and the human being. And so it's a very, very high vibration. And many of my clients can't even get near it. It's so powerful. And so they can really feel it. And so for me this morning, just because, I went ahead and I put my left hand on the skull and just to see how things were going. I tune in that way a lot of times to see how the earth is doing. If I'm kind of busy, I'll just put my hand on the skull. And I got information this morning that was pretty interesting.
Oh, would you like to share that with us?
Sure.
Okay.
You betcha. Well, it's just like this, like you were saying, the magnetics of the solar system, which is the sun, and all of the planets, we're a magnet. Everything's magnetizing. The Milky Way is a magnet. And so what's happening is we're pulling in. And what I got this morning was that the core of the earth is actually rising to the occasion. So what this means is I looked into the energy of it, and what it means is that the earth is beginning to expand, more so than it was before. This year in particular, the expansion of our earth is going to go through growing pains. And so there's no way around it. It's going to have to happen. But we are getting help along the way to not have it destructive, quote unquote. It's more like this is going to occur, but where it occurs depends on where the breaking point. It's almost like, you know, the body has pressure points. Well, the earth has pressure points. And so there are going to be areas of the earth that are actually going to kind of break open and expand. But it's not meant to kill. You know, it's not a killing effect. It's meant to expand so that we as the human race can do it too. And this is better than having us flip a cycle and go, whoop, there goes the earth. You know, we're actually blessed. I'll just put it bluntly that way. We're in a position of being able to also, is the more we expand, the less the earth has to do the work. Do you understand that? So the more the human being expands and the more we let go of the old constrictive ideas and the old way of thinking, that's what's happening. The earth is actually expanding for us because we are all connected. And so she's going to expand. The more that the human being expands, the earth won't have to go through as much of a destruction as we thought in the first place for 2012. This is not about destruction. This is about expansion.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, and we're going deeper. You know, we're starting to think deeper, even though we feel crazy sometimes.
Yeah, that's true for me anyway.
So how have you been, Lance?
Well, that's a long story, and we'll save that for a private conversation.
You betcha. So
what I'm getting is that the more people are able to do their own inner work and release the fears and the duality that's artificial within us, and bring up and release that which is no longer serving us, the more the earth will be able to do her job in a smooth transition for all of us.
Absolutely, without a question.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And the other beautiful thing that I want to mention is this. You know, we've been talking a lot lately about how spirits more prevalent. You know, there are people that are telling me that they are seeing more ghosts, or they're feeling more energies in their house. You know, some people told me the other day that the door just opened up all by itself and then shut again. And, well, we have a lot of that kind of stuff here in Bend. There's actually quite a few little restaurants that have little hauntings here and there. But it's real fun for me because I go in and read what's going on and say, oh, that's not harmful. They just want to be known, you know. They're just looking for, and especially if the house was owned by an owner in, you know, previously, that it's now maybe a salon, let's say. And so there'll be a ghostly image that occurs in the salon. And so I go in and I do clearings. That's one of the things that I do in my work. And I found that there's quite a few of them lately. So the veil has lifted. You know, we know that we've been talking about that before. As this expansion takes place, the veil becomes thinner and thinner. So we're beginning to feel and understand more of this esoteric idea that we used to think that was just kind of outside ourselves, and whether or not we even believed in death was a big question, and or in life after death. And now what's happening is that it's hard to ignore that there isn't life after death, because it's happening all over the place, and people are starting to recognize it more. And if people have a hard time understanding that, I'm gonna suggest this. We are going deeper in our expansions regardless. Okay, this is what the change of the cycle is doing for us. We're going to become more telepathic. We're going to see and feel more spirit. We're going to have more intelligent dreams. Our talents are going to start rising more and more. This is our 2012, folks. This is, if we want to talk about the reality of what's really happening, we're expanding. And if you, well, I'll explain this. I work with babies. I work with people who die. I work with all kinds of everything. And babies, people think, are, you know, they are very fragile. They don't talk. They don't, you know, when they're really little, they're just little babies.
Yeah.
But let me explain. Their souls are magnificent, and they're large. The soul is much larger than we give it credit for.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because their soul can fill the room. And you can actually, if you understand it, if you tune into it, you can actually almost be intimidated by an infant.
Wow.
It can happen. Wow. The people that are dying also fill a room with their soul. As soon as they're ready to pass on, they get bigger. That's why they sleep so much before they pass, is that their soul is getting ready to expand. And so because I read energy, I have seen that over and over. Now what I'm being told for this particular year is by about May, we're going to be expanded like you won't believe. The process is happening quickly. And the change is happening so fast. We can't help it. We're in a position of having it happen regardless. And if somebody isn't wanting to, they're going to do it anyway. They're just going to do it in their own way. And they may feel a little bit frustrated, or they may come up against blocks easier. They're almost going to be forced in a position of having to change one way or another.
Well, now, will there be those who absolutely refuse to change, that will be decide that they don't want to play this game anymore and want to take? Okay, so so every choice and every possibility is allowed for.
Exactly. Exactly. So more than likely, we're going to see more death this year. And you know, it's not something that, you know, we don't want to emphasize anything that we considered negative, because life itself is not necessarily negative. There's always a reason for it. And one thing is, there's always a reason, because everything is energy. So because, including illness. And so because everything is energy, it can be changed as fast as it came on. So we are in a process right now where I feel personally that more energetic healings are going to occur this year as well. And people are going to be dumbfounded at how quickly they can heal when they thought they were so sick. It's going to turn over. And so there, because it's a subconscious thing, there are certain people that are releasing and letting go. In the last two weeks of 2011, there were a lot of sick people on this planet. You know, a lot of people got ill, and they questioned why they were sick, and some just assume it's a flu. And, you know, we got to get our heads out of our, you know, wares, because we've always thought a certain way. My suggestion is to change your perspective and start seeing illness as release. Start seeing it as a blessing that your body is talking to you.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Well, it's a message from spirit, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a message from yourself to yourself is what
yourself.
It is.
Yeah,
and same. You're starting to learn more about it. And this is what our bodies are doing. They're letting go. And we have to allow them. It's what we call a healing crisis. And healing crises happen, but we don't have to die from them. They're just releases, unless our heads tell us, oh, God, I'm so sick, I'm going to die. In that case, you're putting the intent of death into your system.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you've spoken before about the old paradigm of the medical institutions and how they are probably way overdue for some kind of major transformation. How do you see that today?
The same.
Or worse.
It's changed very much. Except I do feel that more people are coming into an understanding that the medical profession is not really truly helping us. What they're doing is they're doing what they were taught. They're
right.
doing what they were taught. And, you know, and God bless them for it. But it's, on the other hand, there's a whole nother shift occurring that they do not see, which is an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual level.
That's right. That's right. And plus, they were taught by the pharmaceutical industries.
Right. Right. So. Well, you know, the easier the better. Here, let's give them this drug and see if it works. Bye.
Right, right. Wait, we've got a more expensive one. Here, try this one. This is better.
By the way, can I call this, what can I call this diagnosis? And I can use it as a code so I get paid. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, and I don't mean to put them down. It's just that it's old. It's old.
Right.
It's time to start. Even the doctors can change their perspective and they can start seeing things differently. And they do know a lot of good doctors are out there, and they're starting to recognize that they can't do things the same way they used to. But here's the deal. There aren't enough people they can refer to. So, you know, as soon as things start turning around, now I've been on other radio shows, and there have been some people that say, well, that'll never happen. But I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because we are changing, and energy is becoming more prevalent. And the more that we have people out there that are writing books and explaining, like, you know, bless his heart, Bruce Lipton, people who are talking about cellular structure and what the heck have we done to ourselves, we've allowed ourselves to believe in something that isn't real.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, I've been saying this for 20 years, is that, you know, people's past, and they think that because their mother had a heart attack or their father had a heart attack, that they're going to have a heart attack. This has been whipped into our heads that it's, you know, it's going to come down the line and we're going to inherit these horrible things. The truth is, we don't have to. If you inherit it, it's because you have become the same pattern or the same kind of personality. And you've agreed to that personality. Now, here's the trick. What you do is you have to recognize that you're not your mom and you're not your dad. You're not your grandfather. You're not your grandmother. You're not even the guy next door. You know? So, but we are such an conducive, you know, humanity. What we do is we take on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we can do that very naturally. You can do that for your child. You can take on, you know, if they're having a fever, you can suddenly start feeling hot because you wanted to take it on for them. And this is how incredibly flexible our energies are. If we care about something, we want to take the pain. We want to help somebody. And so we may feel what they're feeling, and it may help them for a while, but then what are we doing to ourselves? And so it's something to realize that this is called transference, Lance. And transference happens all the time. This is part of the Big Bang. It's part of recognizing subconsciously an energy that's occurring that you're allowing. And once you experience it, you go, you know what? This isn't mine. What the heck have I done? Why am I taking it? And so you don't have to take it to help somebody heal. You take it from me, man. I found out from the very beginning of doing this work that I thought I was going to die from somebody that came into me on the very first time. And she had she was like 300 pounds, and she was my very first client, and she was suicidal. And, of course, I was working in the medical profession at first, and, you know, 6 years, and then I started into massage therapy. Little did I know I was this healer that could do all this stuff. So until I could learn, you know, how to understand it, I had to go through it.
So then what happened? Did you become suicidal?
I actually got sick to my stomach because it wasn't in my vibration to kill myself. You know, it wasn't in me to do that. I would never, ever consider something like that. But I ended up going home and feeling that energy, and it made me sick.
Yeah.
And I ended up having to go. I went home, and I actually crawled underneath my kitchen table, and I rocked.
Oh, my.
And I had three little kids at home, you know, and I was like, I can't do this. I am rocking myself to death. I don't know what's happening here. And so then I finally fell asleep. I threw up, and I finally fell asleep, and I woke up the next morning completely fine. Nothing wrong, no feelings of suicide, nothing like that. And then I found out that she made an appointment the following week, and I almost ran. I said, no, tell her I'm not here. Tell her I'm not here. They went ahead and they put her in anyway, and I went, oh no. So I had to see her a following week, and you know what happened?
What?
A week later, 7 days, she had changed her complete philosophy of life. In 1 week, she had been wearing a beautiful dress. She had these red pumps. She had her fingernails done. She lost 7 pounds.
Wow.
And came in with a new hairdo.
Wonderful.
And I didn't even recognize her. And she came in, she looked at me, she goes, I don't know what you did last time, but I just have to thank you. I'm feeling really good. That was my very first client 28 years ago.
Wow.
So,
but you've learned since then how to shield yourself and not take on the other person's...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I teach that to people. I teach it to healers today, how to understand transference and how to recognize when it's not yours versus, you know, how it's somebody else's.
What about some of the miraculous things that you've seen happen? I mean, that is miraculous, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, are there some of the more fascinating stories that you would want to talk about?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've had several of them.
At least several hundred.
and the amount of time, oh, my God, every single person is a miracle. Every single person I work on has a miraculous result on some level, and they all let me know about it. I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there who are ready for healing more now than they used to be. But but back in the day, I remember I had a lady come in. She was... she was a regular client of mine. Now, she was in her early 60s, and she had brought her daughter in from Portland. I was living in Eugene at the time in Portland, or in Oregon. And so they brought her in, and they said, okay, here's my daughter. And she was 5 months pregnant, and she lived in Portland, so she had driven down to see me. So I went ahead, and I said, oh, 5 months pregnant? Okay, fine, you know. So she lays on the table. I start working on her, and I go, uh-oh. There was no movement in the baby. I didn't feel any life.
Wow.
I didn't feel any life at all. And so this is kind of going out on a limb to tell you guys this, but this is what happened. I actually had put my hands on, and I looked up. I said, all right, why did you send her to me? And I immediately got, put your hand on the head and put your other hand on the feet. So here the lady is laying on her back, and I've got my hand on her belly, and I can sense where the head and the feet are of the infant, of the fetus. And I went in, and I started working, and suddenly there was a jolt that went through my body.
Uh-huh.
And that jolt was so hard and so heavy that I just, whoa, you know. And then within 5 minutes, there was a kick from the baby.
Wow.
And I had literally asked the mother, I had asked her, I said, when was the last time you felt a kick from this child? And she was half groggy because of the energy work I was putting out. And she goes, about 2 weeks ago. I thought,
oh, my God.
Jesus, 2 weeks ago? Why haven't you gone to the doctor? You know, but that time, she just kind of didn't know. She was a first-time mother.
Wow.
And so I went, oh, boy, oh, boy. And I knew what I was working with. So the jolt came out of me. The baby started to kick. And then the session was over, and I said, you take care of that kid now. And she gave me a big hug. She felt great, and she left.
Uh-huh.
I ended up running to the bathroom and bawling my eyes out. This is like 15 years ago, and I cried my eyes out, and I just said, what the heck just happened to me? What just happened? So I called my mentor, who's a Cherokee seer. That was Karen at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I don't know what happened. She says, calm down, honey, calm down. She said, one of your guides decided to pop in and become the baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So it came out of me and into the child, which is why she had to come to me.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is amazing, isn't it? Did you ever find out what happened to the baby?
Actually, this was so interesting, Lance, because about 7 years later, I already knew the child. I knew that it would be a piano player. You know, I read all the energy of this child that I felt really bad about leaving me, but it wasn't mine anymore. So I just about 7 years later, I was living in Portland, and I'll be darned if the grandmother, who was my original client, she hadn't seen me in 6 years, and so, you know, because I moved, and so she ended up finding me, and she came into my office, and she says, "Boy, Mona, we've missed you, blah, blah, blah," and I said, "Yeah," I said, "By the way, how is your daughter doing? How was the labor?" She goes, "Well, it was everything you said." She says, "The labor actually turned out to be hard. It was a difficult labor. You know, it was 17 hours, and she had a heck of a time pushing, and the baby's a fighter, very much a fighter." Well, now the child was 7 years old, and was a piano player, was everything that you know, I thought. So I found out that the woman lived only about three blocks from where I was working.
Ugh.
And I asked her, I begged her, I said, could you have her come in? And she said, "I'll tell her that you're here. She'll be so happy to hear it." Well, I went home that night, I took a hot bath, and I sat there and I talked to Spirit, and I got, "No, you're not going to see him.
Oh.
It's a boy. If you were to see him, he would want to come home with you."
Oh.
And that cannot happen. That's not why he's here.
Oh.
And so then I had to let it go. But no, and she never did call.
Wow, but, isn't that interesting?
Oh, I've got a million of them. Hot cha-cha-cha.
Well, don't stop here. I got done a roll here. Let's keep going.
Oh, my God. Well, there's just a lot of them. I've had a lot of people that have had Agent Orange in their body, a lot of men who came back from the war, and they had Agent Orange in their body, and I had to go through feeling cancer in my system. This is how heavy transference can be, and this is why a lot of healers today don't actually want to do the work, because it's not an easy job. It's not easy, but if you understand, and I'm going to say this to all healers out there, if you understand that what you are taking on is not yours, that all you're doing is letting it filter through you, but if you start attaching to it, then you will carry it. And you don't have to carry it. People have talked about transference. Many, many classes have been out in the massage, you know, schools about how to get rid of it. You know, you wash your hands and you can open a window and all that stuff. Well, that's fine. But truly, you have to understand that these are not yours. When you lay hands on somebody, you are taking on the energy of somebody else, not on purpose, but because it's part of the energy patterns that have to happen in order for that person to feel better. And if you're strong enough, you just let it pass through you. And that's how you can become more intuitive, too. You can actually say, "You know, I'm feeling that, you know, you've had a stomach blockage over here." And, you know, and more healers are becoming that way. So I want to say, fortunately, I encourage anybody that's going into the healing field to get to know that you are not a pawn for the other people. You are the one who's doing the work. So my suggestion is, keep going. Don't stop. We need all the energy workers that we can have in today's world, because this is where our new healing work is going to become. We're going to start leaving the medical profession within the next year and a half. More and more people are going to be constantly looking for something else.
Good.
Yeah, it won't be long. And it's not on purpose. It's, you know, even today I'm hearing that doctors are going broke. Something came out on Yahoo the other day about, you know, some doctors in the independent clinics are actually going broke. They're not able to make what they were making before, and, you know, insurances aren't paying. And so there's a lot of stuff happening out there.
Yeah.
And so we have to help each other. That's what it's going to come down to.
Well, of course, that's always the best prescription, is to help each other and to love one another, because we're loving ourselves when we help other people.
So,
now, what about the damage that's intentionally being inflicted? Do you see some of that coming to light during this year? For instance, there's so much going on with chemicals in their food and fluoride in the water and genetically modified food and chemtrails in the air. John used to talk about that. He was adamant about that. He says, you know, if I meet somebody and they say that they don't agree with chemtrails, I just write them off. He was really pissed about it. And I said, you know, I agree with you, John. So there's a lot of disinformation, and of course we're not getting any accurate information from the news. It really is something that's a filtering device,
right,
for the elite, the 1%. So are you seeing those controls starting to slip this year? Because they seem like they have to.
Oh, sure. The more they're found out, that's the Big Bang Theory. The more that they're found out and the more that people talk about them, the less power they have over anybody, because now it becomes a reality of a recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Big Bang is. It's actually, you know, where two or more are gathered. It's recognition within itself, and then once something is recognized, it frees up the rest of the problems. You don't have to suffer. Actually, what happens is that we are actually more powerful than chemtrails, and we can make things change just by our perception.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people who are happy, you know, don't get sick. And you know, there's just stuff like that, because it turns out that there's a lot of energy that's behind us. As the more involved we get at being at heart center, Lance, the better we become. And get involved. If, you know, if people don't know how, then find groups in your area. Start creating one, for heaven's sakes. Get involved in understanding heart center. There's enough books out there. You can have a book club. You can talk about heart center. You can get in touch with it by humming or toning. These are the things you can do to feel your heart. You got to get in touch with it this year. It's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I keep hearing, because this is going to make you more powerful.
I totally agree with you on that one. And another thing that you mentioned that I think is coming in this year is the increased telepathy that we'll share.
Yes.
That we'll be able, the things that you're able to do and some of us are able to do naturally, I think will be become more commonplace, and people will start awakening to, oh, gee, I knew that was going to happen, or
absolutely,
yeah, or I, you know, the thing about the phone rings and it's somebody and you expected it and so on and so forth. Well, I think it'll go far beyond that.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely,
yeah.
It's going to be a lot more than that. We're already doing it, and the thing is that when people start talking about, well, let's say for example, if someone starts talking about having a UFO experience of seeing a UFO in the sky.
Yeah.
They don't usually like talking about it because they're afraid people aren't going to understand it or that they're going to think they're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't discuss it. But I'll tell you what, once you start talking about it or you say something to somebody, you know what? That person will say, you know what, I had one too.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And then you break the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta trust in being who you are. This
That's
is
right.
the year that you open up and you don't hide under a bushel anymore. We can't. It's becoming more of a reality. You know, it's called, you know, illusion to illumination. And the more that we talk and the more that we open up, the bigger and better we get. And it takes one person to start changing the rest of society. If it doesn't take a lot, it just takes the person to really start opening up. And that person might get frustrated, but you know what? Somewhere along the way, there was a drop in the water, and somebody else took over because they understood that that person meant a lot to them, and that they said, they taught me. So we have to teach each other. We've got to do that this year and understand that we are stronger than the average cookie. We had no idea we were this strong, but this is the importance of the human. We are so powerful. We just didn't know it.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And, of course, you know, one of the things that I see is a big obstacle to that are people's insecurities and fears and self-doubt.
Right, right.
You know, we seem to be programmed to be riddled with these things, and they're not serving us at all.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And you know what's happening? They're becoming more noticeable.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're coming up to the surface. And just like in a human being, when I'm working on a physical body, those certain situations that have blocked a human actually will come out of the cellular memory. So when I'm working, I will actually identify maybe an experience that this person had gone through. And it frees up the person once they hear it. It's biofeedback. They get it. And then they go, oh, yeah, that did happen, you know. And then it opens up that particular part of the body, and the circulation starts to flow easier, and they lose their fear. So the thing is you must remember that we created patterns. We created them to protect ourselves, or we created them out of fear so that we wouldn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. But more than likely, we created them so that we wouldn't necessarily be different. In the past, everybody, you know, when you would hear people say, I just don't fit,
mm-hmm.
you know, the truth is you fit more than you ever thought.
Yeah.
The more individual you are, the better you fit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and now all that programming to conform is really just a bunch of hooey.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Lance, I've seen healing happen within minutes. I'm telling you, minutes. And I remember with so many people in the past, I was able to read every diagnosis that came through. And 20 years ago, I could tell you why people had diabetes or why they had Parkinson's or why they had cancer. It was an on and on and on thing to the point where I kept seeing these patterns. And it was like to the point where it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is part of what I wanted to write the book for. But then I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to go into all that
right
stuff.
Right.
I want to say what's the most important thing we can learn today as a collective, as we're learning
right.
together, as a human race. What are we doing? You know, how are we affiliating more personal contact with each other? If you smile at the guy down the street, you're actually doing something bigger for that person than you ever knew. But if you keep your head down and you walk down with your head down, there's no contact.
That's right.
And what have we done? You know, and in Hawaii, the aloha spirit was always around, hey, brother, how you doing? You know, and it was so easy to share with the Hawaiians, you know. It's like everybody smiled. Everybody had love. You know, this is the way that it was. It wasn't such a big deal that, oh, my God, we got to get to work at 9 o'clock and we have to blah, 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 blah. You know, it wasn't like that. It was, like, very easygoing and comfortable.
That seems like the way it should be.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole system has to change, and I don't know how that's going to come about, but there has to be a major transformation from corporate... you know, the dictatorship that comes from the corporations.
And I'll tell you how it's going to come about. It's going to come about from individual people waking up to not being afraid anymore.
Right.
It's going to come out to the people are by the people for the people. Let's get on with it. Because back in August of this year, or no, 2011, when I did that wonderful ceremony at Chaco Canyon, one of the biggest things that came out was Archangel Michael was very powerful at that point, and he said, don't ever hide under a bushel again. You say your feelings and you say what you feel. You say what you mean. And this is like, that was huge, you know, because so much of us in the past have been quiet so we don't disrupt anything.
Right.
And, you know, well,
and
that's...
so things go on as a status quo.
Right. And I don't think that that's really where the people really wanted to go anymore. We're waking up, man. I've got 5,000 people on Facebook on my page.
Wow.
And I've got to say that everybody that says something is incredible. You know, if people could read my page on the homepage and see how many people are putting out positive input and beautiful pictures and saying these great quotes, it's like, oh my God, I'm having so much fun.
Oh, how cool. What's your Facebook handle?
What does it handle?
Yeah, how do you get, how does somebody get a hold of you on Facebook?
Oh, well.
I'm not on it.
there's a limitation. The Facebook has a limit to 5,000 friends.
Oh, okay, so you're at your max. You're maxed out.
I'm maxed out, baby.
Well,
I'm maxed out.
For being popular.
Well, then again, I have other cracks in the avenues that people can reach me at. It's called telepathy.
Oh, right, of course.
I actually do. I dream of people that I don't even know. And I dream of certain situations that occur. A lot of times I dream just because, I'll tell you, I dream about, believe it or not, this is the craziest damn thing, but Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, they come up a lot in my dreams. And it's like, oh, wow. And so if I wake up with that, it's like, I didn't read the tabloids. I don't care. Then yet I'll have a dream. And it'll be so specific and so strong. And within a week, I'll be darned if that very same thing is in the tabloids. And so it's almost like this connection that keeps going. But it's not just with them. There's a lot of people that you'll start dreaming about. You just have to turn on your light.
Yeah.
turn it on and allow it to happen, and don't be afraid of what's coming for you, because there's nothing to be afraid of. Yeah, it really isn't.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, do you ever have a situation when you're working with somebody that you'd go in to see what's the matter, and you find out that that they're supposed to have that illness for some kind of soul purpose or soul contract? Yes,
that has happened. Uh-huh. But here's the truth of it, is that if they've learned the lesson from it, they don't have to carry it.
Yeah.
It's a lesson, and a lot of times that's what these illnesses are about. They're about lessons, and they're about learning. They're learning about you, about what your mental and emotional status is. What have you allowed? What have you not allowed? Your spiritual world is not so much about just belief in God. I want to clear that up for people. A spiritual body is how you live your life. It's the way that you see things. It's the way, it's like one step higher than the mental mind. The mental mind is about your perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your perceptions are going to be limited, then believe it or not, you're not going to understand your spiritual life at all. And so it just keeps going up the ladder. And the spiritual life is more related to how you are being a part of your own world. It is your world. And so you can make anything happen in that realm. If you allow it to, you can even go many steps higher than that. It's not just a spiritual realm. You've got your causal body and your etheric body, and you know it goes on and on. But if you trust yourself, if you trust yourself, and you learn to love who you are, no matter what your flaws are, it does not matter. If you're wanting to get better, you will. But you have to want to. It's always coming back down to the desire.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important is it to have authenticity and integrity?
Oh, very. Very important. If you don't have integrity, then you're lying to yourself, correct?
Right.
Or to others.
Yeah, and then you're building your house on a thing of sand.
Right, right. But integrity will take you only to the point of awareness that you have understood it to be. That's why a lot of people are right now, they're like coming up against these blockages, because their integrity is ready to blossom. But they can't do it necessarily with the same ideas that they used to carry, thinking that because they were raised Christian or Catholic or whatever, they had these ideas about how to serve, and they thought that they had to be good girl syndrome, for example.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I've got to be good, and I can't say these things, and I can't. Well, you know, sooner or later, something is going to occur,
right,
that's going to shift that pattern, because the body can't live under a bushel.
Right.
You know, and that's what's happening today. So a lot of people today are finding themselves frustrated, or they're finding themselves going into depression. And if they do that, my suggestion is to recognize it and don't buy into the fact that you've got this horrible thing. What you do is you recognize it's there, and you work with it. You work with it. You're a creative co-creator, and you can make things happen, but you can't ignore the truth of your body. You can't ignore the truth that maybe you were upset about something. Admit it. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. And then move on. Move beyond it, and you will heal.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And then how do people open their mind when they're plagued with beliefs that were programmed there from childhood?
Well, they're going to find out that those beliefs didn't really...
They didn't help or serve?
They didn't cut it. Something happened. What went wrong?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
So these are the things that are happening today, Lance. More than ever, we're being asked to be ourselves. We're being asked to be real. Don't be a phony. Don't say things just to make people happy. And don't well up in your sorrows either, because that's not balance. Balance is about allowance. Letting things happen and then working with it. You're constantly, every day is like 100 years today. Every single day is moving so quickly, and it's so intense that we would like to sometimes just say, oh God, I don't want to deal with this today. Well, you know what? Why not? What's it going to do? What's it going to do? What harm is it going to give you to have to confront something that you thought was uncomfortable? Maybe it's not that uncomfortable. Maybe you made it up in your head.
Right, right. You're right. That's entirely possible and most likely, too.
Most likely. The things we worry about, what's that saying, Lance? Things we worry about never happen anyway.
Right, right. And if you do worry about them, then you're bringing them on. So.
Yeah, there's a, you know, Ram Dass came out with a saying that I just love, and he says, worrying is a prayer of the things you don't want.
Right. Right, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It does, it does. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of trends go for through your clients, and are you? What are you seeing now coming up towards the end of the year? Now, did we talk about, there's a lot going on in politics, or should I say there's not much going on in politics, same old. Amplified a few thousand percent. Do you think there's going to be an election in 2012?
No, I don't. I'll be honest with you. No, I don't.
I don't either.
No, I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. It's almost like that's part of another world, or it's part of the world that used to be. It's not part of where we are today, and it's not part of where we're. Our sacredness is not having to do with this kind of BS anymore. It's not real. It never really has been.
That's right. We've just been conditioned to fall into lockstep. And we know that most of those institutions that have been established are illegal and false and designed to entrap us. So, you know, at some point we're going to wake up and say, okay, this is enough of that. Well, I don't know why we're doing this. Let's stop it.
So, by the people, for the people. Eventually, this is how we were birthed. We were birthed under that. And so I can see where that's coming alive within us now.
Yeah.
And so more and more the people are going to make decisions, and there could be something that happens. Astrologically speaking, we've got some heavy times coming ahead of us, but we also have some incredibly good times that are about our perceptions. How do we see something? How do we look at it? And so, again, that's what it comes down to, is how are you going to see something? Are you going to see it from destructive, or are you going to see it as a clarity, a cleansing? Mm-hmm. And so remember that when these things happen, because we are going to have changes. There's no question about it. It has to. And so, but when it does, be part of the change. Mm-hmm. Don't try to shove it under a rug and say, oh, I don't want to look at that. Because you're going to need to. You're going to need to open yourself enough to say, wow. But watch the blame. Because a lot of times with the Japan earthquake, a lot of people said, oh, man, I had a lot of people talking to me about that. And I literally had to stop some of them from trying to say that, well, they had it coming. You know, it's like, oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? You don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, we have to be careful. Our judgments have got to stop.
Judgment and blame, you know, that's all just a false construct.
It's all part of the third dimension.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who know we're headed for higher dimensions, whatever those may be, that's not a place where we can take judgment and blame and guilt.
Right. Well, you know, Lance, right now the fourth dimension is about the chaos. It's the opening of the door to the fifth. The fifth dimension is related to open heart and unconditional love.
Yeah.
This is where the fifth dimension is. And this is what we're coming into. That's why we're going to start breathing easier. We're going to feel like we're accepted now. We can finally fit. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
This is what we came here for.
Well, it also seems that the fourth dimension is part of the matrix of control, and that once we break through that we're outside of the matrix.
Well, we're coming more and more, you know, actually, we're right in that right now. And it's the third dimension was more about the control, and that's when we were asleep. That's when, you know, but you know what? I was thinking today, there were some really good things back then. You know, I used to love the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, yes.
I loved all that stuff back then. So there were always, you know, there were some fun things
some
back then.
Oh, there's wonderful stuff. You
the
know,
Beatles.
I'd be the last one to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Absolutely. But it comes right back down to how our systems have developed and what they ended up becoming, which was control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the money system is, according to some of the astrologers I've talked to, we're going to have many challenges on that level this year. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Nobody really knows. My gut tells me that if anybody gives predictions, I would take them with a grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah.
I really would, because a lot of the things that people are predicting are just possibilities.
Yeah.
But that's for anything, you know, because we're creating it. So what are we doing? We've got to create what we want, not what we thought we had to have or what anybody else told us. We are creating as co-creators for a new heaven and a new earth. John used to say that all the time, and this is where we're at today.
Well, for one thing, I don't see a debt-based economy going forward.
Right.
Because debt is the whole purpose of is the whole way that we're enslaved. Now, there have been several interesting revelations that have come out through David Wilcock and Benjamin Fulford, and recently, just days ago, Bob Martinez released some information on the Conscious Media Network about some kind of working behind the scenes of some kind of new financial system. So there's rumors and more rumors. I'm just sitting back kind of watching the whole game and waiting to see what they come up with and, you know, and see if that's in alignment with what I feel is for the best or for all of us.
My suggestion is not to buy into any of it. My suggestion is to be able to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Take care of yourself on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And don't try to push the river, because the river could overflow tomorrow. But
that's
if we're,
right.
you know, we just don't need to go there. We need to be more centered within ourselves now, because this is what's creating the new world.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And worrying about what's outside of us is a distraction from the inside work that we need to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's as within, so without.
That's right. And if any of us think that we don't have healing work that we can do within, well, then it's time to look again, because there's always something that we can, another layer of the onion that we can peel back and look at and have a few more onion tears, because believe me, there's plenty there, folks, where that came from.
That's right, honey. And also, you know, we talked about distilled water last time, and I have to tell you how many people actually contacted me to say thank you for sharing that. Because a lot of people started on distilled water, and they started to do the tincture of the biofeedback tincture.
Tell us about that again. Let's reiterate that, because I'm still on the distilled water. I won't drink anything but distilled water, and I am having wonderful results with it. So, repeat what you said.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to take this real kind of quickly, but very carefully. So if we have a little brown bottle that we can get at any health food store, and we put a little bit of distilled water in there, we remember that distilled water is clean and clear. It's one of the purest waters that you can find. In the past, people have said don't drink it because it actually increases acidity. Okay, so this is what people thought. This is how they termed it. Well, what you do is because it's so pure, it's more receptive to energy. And so what you do is you can hold it in your right hand. If you put a little distilled water in a brown bottle, you can hold the bottle in your right hand, and you can blow your intent. It comes from you. You are actually going to do a biofeedback into the bottle, and you're going to blow your intent, whatever you want that intent to be.
Okay.
You blow it in there as long as it relates to you and your health.
Okay.
You blow it into the water, and then it's the ha breath. It's what the Hawaiians do for aloha and mahalo. It's always the H-A. It's a ha. It's love. It's the breath of love, the breath of God, however you want to put it. So you blow that intent into the water, and then you go ahead, seal it up, put it away for about 10 minutes, and if not longer, and then you use that bottle. It never goes bad. So you use that bottle. It collects the energy that you put into it, just like Dr. Emoto had said about water and, and crystals and all that. Okay, and so you put these under your tongue, and you can put a whole dropper under your tongue. Don't take the whole bottle at once. It's worth it. Just do a little dropper, and then put it underneath, and do it every day as respectfully as you can, and you are actually biofeedbacking into your system exactly what it was that you put into that bottle in the first place.
Wow. Wonderful.
And
I love that.
This is energy work. This is how it works within us. And so
anyone can do that.
Anybody can do that. You can do it for children. You can do it for, you know, have the children do it for themselves. You know, how about love and peace and happiness? You know, that kind of thing. And put it under the tongue, and then they can take it liquid-like. Liquid lick.
And you can speak well, too, on the air.
Yeah, speaking in tongues.
Right, there you go. You're tongue-tied.
They're tongue-tied. Don't get me wrong. Lance, I have more fun with you.
I have a ball with you too, Mona. In fact, I've had so much fun, this hour is over.
I know. I can see the clock, and I'm going, oh, God.
I can't believe it. It seems like we just came on. Well, we don't want to run into the next hour, so
we'll consider it.
And thank you, Mona, for being on tonight. I just love you dearly. You're just a wonderful person and a good friend.
Thank you, Lynn. And would you share
with us where we can find you on the Internet and all that?
Absolutely. www.sacredreconnections, that's with an S,
okay.
sacredreconnections.com. That's
wonderful.
My website, and everything's on there,
all right.
Including our show.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Well, thanks again, Mona, and it was great talking to you, and I know I'll be talking to you again.
Yeah, thank you, Lance. Happy New Year, and I love you.
Happy New Year, too. Love you, too.
Okay, bye-bye, sweetheart.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.